This is the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today is Mark Brown. He is Director of Field Services with Plains Cotton Growers and is set to join us in just a few moments. First off, Brad Rippey, a meteorologist with USDA, talks about the past January precipitation totals compared to previous years.
Going back just the last few years, looking at only the 21st century, it was actually the second wettest January so far in the 21st century. The only wetter January was back in 2017. And then getting back to temperatures, the only five higher January average temperatures that have occurred in the last 129 years, all except one were fairly recent years, 1953, 1990, and then more recently 2006, 2012, and 2020. And again, that turned out to be the sixth warmest January on record.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Mark Brown. Mark is Director of Field Services with Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. We'll have contact information in just a few moments. But, Mark, as we start our conversation off, I guess a good place to start is what things look like as we start preparing for this 2023 crop. Still pretty dry across the region.
It is still pretty dry, Tony, and so whenever we're looking at these planting decisions for the springtime, we've always got an eye to the sky, and as we kind of look at where we're at for this year since January 1, as far as rainfall, we have had a little bit of moisture across the area, just not as much as we would like to see, and of course, we're at a very strong deficit from last year. But in the Lubbock area, we've received about 69 hundredths up to this point. And, of course, most of that came from snowmelt. In the Amarillo area, they have officially received 0.5 inches or a half inch and about 35 hundredths down in the Midland area. So we're definitely dry. Of course, this is our dry time of year. We don't anticipate typically more than a half inch or so per month on average. So we're not too far behind average, but you compare that to last year and we've got a long way to go to make up for that. And, you know, that's driving some of these planting decisions. And Tony, I might mention that briefly. You know, we can look at the recently released National Cotton Council Planting Intentions Survey for cotton across the U.S. and across Texas, and we can see that it's down in most areas. We're looking at about a 17% reduction across the U.S. or 11.4 million acres of cotton projected currently. In Texas, we're looking at a projection of 6.18 million acres, and that's a reduction of 21% from last year. And if you just look at upland cotton alone, not including ELS, the only state to increase their planting intentions is Kansas, and that was only a slight increase. And whenever I visit with producers locally in our area, I hear the same kind of comments. I know that producers are very concerned about input costs on cotton relative to risk and relative to prices. And so we do know that grain prices are good. I think certainly up in the panhandle, these grain prices are going to be attractive. Silage contracts on the western side of the panhandle, I hear, are very strong this year because there's a lot of demand for silage up in that area. Even down here on the South Plains, we have a lot of wheat that's been planted for cover, and producers are weighing out options as to different alternative ways that they could utilize that wheat cover and rather than just terminating it. And so we may see some that is cut for hay or grazed out completely. And also, if the weather ends up being favorable for grain production, we may even see some of this wheat going to harvest. And so those are some of the things that we're looking at in terms of weather and planting intentions.
So really kind of sets the stage for this next question, and it deals with the 2018 Farm Bill and the opportunity to make an election decision, if you will, over whether you want to participate at a farm level in the ARC or the PLC program. And that deadline is right around the corner, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is. And I'm glad that you asked that question, because that's one that's critical for all of our producers, is the ones that do have cotton base. Now, I realize that there are some producers in the northern panhandle that may not have historical cotton base, but even up there, it's important to be looking at different insurance options. And so the deadline for that decision at the FSA office on ARC versus PLC is March 15th. And we're being told by FSA officials that even if they can't get to everyone and get everyone taken care of by that deadline, that when they call in to set their appointment, that they'll be required to make their election over the telephone at that point in time. So people do need to be really studying this and looking at these decisions. And then these weigh in also on the March 15th deadline for crop insurance decisions. I know there are always people that are interested in stacks insurance on cotton. Keep in mind that if you elect to participate in stacks, that you would not be eligible in that season to participate either in ARC or PLC. Now, there is another insurance option out there these days, one called the supplemental coverage option, a little more expensive than stacks, but also provides a higher level of coverage. So supplemental coverage, or SCO. And if you take that, it's very similar to ARC. So you could not participate in ARC, but actually you could take out SCO and still sign up for PLC at the FSA office. So a lot of options out there. We do have some information through Plains Cotton Growers that might help people in those very difficult decisions. And if you need more information on that, you're welcome to look at our website or give us a call at the office.
And we also have to keep in mind, for cotton producers, there's actually another opportunity out there. And, of course, we could get down in the weeds pretty quick here. But the stacks program is something that still exists for cotton producers.
Yes, absolutely. And so that stacks program, that does vary from the county that you're in. And we have put together a listing of the stacks, county yields, county by county. And then based off of that, then you can also look at the insurance premium that would be required for stacks. So we could get folks in the ballpark over at Plains Cotton Growers. Probably the best option would be to contact your insurance agent and get quotes on either optional coverage or on revenue coverage, and then get some quotes on the stacks insurance as well. But again, keep in mind that if you take out the stacks, that you're not eligible to participate either in ARC or PLC.
Let's swing back, and when we talk about cotton production, one name that kind of pops up, at least on the Southern High Plains, is the Williams name. Specifically, Mark Williams, he's been a leader in Plains Cotton Growers and nationally in cotton organizations as well, and was recently recognized. What happened?
Yes, that is right. And we're so proud of the Williams family. They've got a long history in leadership positions in Plains Cotton Growers, and as you mentioned, also at the national level. And Mark, he has three boys that are currently involved with him in the farming operation. Mark's three sons are Ryan, Russell, and Reagan. And they farm primarily in the Farwell area, but they also have acreage that expands all the way up to Dalhart. And I believe they have about 18,000 acres of production. And what they do, each one of the sons has a somewhat different role in their operation. And so I think it's pretty unique from that standpoint, and they're able to take advantage of each individual's talents that way. And we're just so very proud of them, because we think they're very highly deserving of the High Cotton Award for this Southwest region. And so they were recently recognized. Again, they're from Farwell, Texas, and we just want to congratulate the entire Williams family.
Finally, let's tee up something that's right around the corner as well. You'll make an ARC PLC decision before you attend this, but the 66th annual meeting for Plains Cotton Growers, what can you tell us?
You bet. It's going to be a lot different this year. I would say that. And I would also say that although I can't take the credit for lining up these speakers, I can say that we've got an excellent agenda this year. And I'm excited about the agenda. I think it's going to be really a fun meeting and a very informative meeting. We're doing it a lot different than we have in years past. You'll recall that typically we have our meeting on Friday morning of the Texas Cotton Ginners Gin Show, the annual gin show that is held there in Lubbock. And we are going to continue to host our meeting during that same week, and we'll be very much involved with the Texas Cotton Ginners. But the meeting itself, the annual meeting, will be conducted in an all-day format on Tuesday, March the 28th. So that's a big difference right there. And also, we're going to, in the afternoon, be holding several different sessions that you can take your pick of. So you've got concurrent sessions ongoing all afternoon. And so because of that, we have moved the location of the meeting over to the Overton Conference Center. And if you're needing hotel accommodations, of course, they can pick you up over there as well. So we surely hope that people will take advantage of coming out to this meeting. We've got a great lineup of speakers, as I mentioned, all morning long. And then we're participating with the High Plains Journal to bring Cotton University to Lubbock. And then we also have a marketing seminar that will be conducted at this meeting by StoneX. And so that marketing seminar will have some really good information as well. We are requesting, we're strongly encouraging people to register for this event. You can go to our website and you can register for it. But that is for planning purposes, because we've got all these different concurrent sessions and we want to be sure and allocate enough tables and chairs in each of the rooms that we have reserved. But I want people to keep in mind that these speakers have been sponsored, and so there is no cost to attend this meeting. But we do encourage you to go ahead and register just as soon as possible so we can get plans made, because March 28th is going to be here before we know it.
If you'd like more information, find Plains Cotton Growers online, plainscotton.org. Mark Brown is Director of Field Services with Plains Cotton Growers on today's Agribusiness Report.
At Ag Texas Farm Credit, your success is our only purpose. We understand your financing needs and will be here to support you through it all. We specialize in traditional farming and ranching operations, recreational property, equipment and livestock, agribusiness, and country home loans, plus insurance and leasing. At Ag Texas, we're dedicated to the prosperity of agriculture and rural America. Ag Texas Farm Credit, your success, our purpose.
As certain as Friday Night Lights shine on high school football, Higginbotham Brothers shine for you. A Texas tradition since 1881, Higginbotham Brothers have been your family lumberyard and hardware store. 40 stores strong, serving your local communities with lumber and hardware items and much, much more. When you're purchasing coolers, grills, or looking for a new chair for that next tailgate party, come to Higginbotham Brothers. For quality products and superior customer service, it's Higginbotham Brothers, a Texas original.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Mark Brown with Plains Cotton Growers.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Are you looking for a new opportunity? The King Ranch Institute for Ranch Management's Ranch Manager Job Board is open, with jobs posted from Texas, Idaho, New Mexico, Nebraska, Colorado, New York, Montana, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Oregon, Florida, even Mexico. Or are you looking for someone to manage a ranch? Find out more at the King Ranch Institute for Ranch Management online, KRIRM.com. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, keep up with Plains Cotton Growers online, plainscotton.org.
United Ag is one of the largest association health plans to offer healthcare benefits for the agricultural industry. Their mission is to bring innovative healthcare solutions to agriculture by meeting their members' employee benefit needs. Join today and take advantage of the premier benefits offered by United Ag. United Ag is committed to contributing to a strong and healthy ag industry. For more information or to join, visit www.unitedag.org.
Life doesn't come with guarantees, but working with Rob Seco comes pretty close. Our strategic investments in the seed we offer are designed to directly improve your bottom line. From full trait platforms, breeding and development, to field-by-field planning and seed-driven crop inputs, with Rob Seco, you have precisely what you need to improve plant performance and increase yield. Every farm, every crop, and every acre. Learn more at robseco.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
USAID, the U.S. Agency for International Development, operates various food aid programs for nations in need, programs such as Food for Peace. But along with providing food in hunger emergencies, it also brings to those countries activities and programs centered around
poverty reduction and increasing the yields of smallhold farmers in particular to increase food security in the long term.
Sarah Charles helps run humanitarian assistance programs for USAID, and she told the Senate Ag Committee the other day, emergency food aid is essential for many countries, but also essential are the associated projects
targeting small-scale farmers or helping pastoralists transition to agropastoralists to help them build resilience and be more able to withstand climate shocks or conflict shocks by improving productivity.
Sarah Charles says climate change and conflicts such as the war in Ukraine are proving the need for agriculture in general to be more resilient to changing conditions. Gary Crawford, Washington.